Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Everybody happy?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Dr. Fred Kirsten, right there behind me. Fred is a certified superintendent of schools in New York State. He holds 5 degrees in music and music education. That's a lot,
yes.
By the way. Fred has taught music from nursery and kindergarten to graduate levels. His doctoral dissertation focused on music of the visually impaired and was developed during his many years of teaching music to students with exceptionalities. Fred is a technology specialist with strong interest, of course, in providing technology assistance with special needs. Presently, he's lead instructor for music technology and an online graduate music facilitator for Boston University, and he's worked in this capacity for the past 9 years. So,
All right. Well, thank you so much. Set my little timer for 50 minutes. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really great to talk to a number of you individuals. Please, if I could communicate with you in any way about whatever your situation is, working with individuals with disabilities, there's an email on the front of my handout. There's a web page associated with this presentation. And as long as the camera keeps going here, there's going to be a video up online for you. So, but certainly, I really enjoyed this, because this is an area of my specialty and I really like to talk to people about it. So, I am going to start with a performance today. We are going to hear a performance by Charlotte White, and Charlotte is going to play for us the prelude to the cello suite number 1 in G by J.S. Bach. And a very, very nice retard at the end, and a little bit of a smile at the end of her performance. So, Charlotte is a very, very unique young lady, and she was playing with a MIDI sensor for her head, and she is working with 2 switches with her thumbs. So, as she was performing, I thought it was so unique to see all the things that she can achieve by using the technology. She is a very interesting young lady. Because Charlotte has so many different achievements. Now, she decided she wanted to raise some money for St. Rose's School. Well, now most people would do what? They'd bake some cookies or be part of some type of raffle. Well, not Charlotte. Charlotte just decided to jump out of an airplane. And she was part of a sponsored skydive. They raised a massive 25,000 pounds, or equivalent of 50,000 American dollars, even the days of Donald Trump. And anyway, she raised all this money for Drake School and St. Rose's School. And she was very interesting in what she said. She said the best bit was when they jumped out of the airplane because the parachute came open. And I said to myself, well, Charlotte, I guess if I jump out of an airplane, I would be very happy if my parachute came open also. But anyway, she was sort of floating around in the air, and this was sort of an out-of-the-world experience, like she was another planet completely detached. She said the worst bit was when they were about ready to jump out of the plane, because it was really terrifying. She dislocated her shoulder, but she said she would definitely do it again. She has won all types of awards. She just won the Bronze Arts Award through St. Rose's School. This is an international honor. And she has just completed a degree at the University of Kent in Sociology and Criminology. And she is currently performing around the world with the Para Orchestra. I thought you might like to see what she was actually doing, because she was working with a MIDI sensor for her head, and she was using her nose to play the various pieces that we heard. And I thought you might like to see what the software looks on the other side of the camera. This is an example showing the adaptive use music instrument software that she used for this presentation.
Here's a quick demonstration of how to use the newest version of the adaptive use software instrument. First thing you do is you open up the program and you click on this turn off button. That should hopefully turn on your webcam and all your drivers will work and will show up on the screen. Next thing you do is you're clicking on the point of your face for it to track, and we usually go to the tip of the nose. And then at this point, you have to choose what mode you want to use. And the two ones we're mostly focusing on are the keyboard mode and the four-way drum mode. The keyboard mode is pretty simple to do. You turn it on by clicking this green button right here, and then it's not going to make a sound until you actually choose a scale. Blue scale and key. So now, if I move within this box, I can go up and down the scale, and it won't make sound outside the box. Depending on the child's abilities, you can make this really large or really small. The other mode we have is this four-way drum mode. So we click on the three dot here, and what this is going to do is allow us to play a different drum in each bar. The first thing you have to do when you play in this mode is go up to this Open Sound Folder button. And this will open up a Open Folder dialog. And what you want to do is choose the sound folder that I supplied. This one has four drum sounds. And then down here, you get to choose which drums go where. So if I want a kick drum in the upper left, I select kick on this one. And now if I go up here, has the kick drum sound. So I can put in drums for all the parts. And what we found so far is that this middle area that's neutral to the sound is sort of an advanced feature that we haven't really taught the children yet. So I tend to turn it all the way down so it's just four lines that they have to go. It's a little easier for them to work with. And maybe advanced things later on will work with this neutral area, or we'll have a different interface.
I mentioned the Drake School. I think this is a very interesting school, especially if you are interested in working with individuals who are working with technology and disabilities. This is the leading UK school. Their whole direction is to work with music disability and technology. They're experts at working with special education needs, disabilities, and music, and they have offices in London, Manchester, and Bristol. They also have an extensive amount of information online. They were very helpful with me, and I've tried to give you in your handout some of the leads if you want to follow up on some of the things I'm talking about today. Their whole direction is try to break down disability barriers to music making for people with disabilities. They try to help others, and they were very, very helpful in me in giving me information that I needed to follow up on as I started to work with my presentation. One of the things they are working with now is physically handicapped and working with new controllers. And one of these controllers is called Brain Fingers. Anybody seen Brain Fingers before? Brain Fingers is sort of interesting because you could use it yourself if you so wish to do. You notice it's sort of a necklace that goes around the person's head, and then it connects in through a small black box to your computer. Just pretty much like having a mouse for using your forehead for this. There are 10 different movements that you could work with your forehead and also your brain. So what the person then can control that computer hands-free. Some people use eye gaze control. Charlotte was working a little bit with eye gaze. The person will then having a camera focus on their eye, and then they can get various movements from it. big problem working with eye gaze is sometimes people have stress in their eyes, or they will blink at the wrong time, and so it's the same thing of hitting your mouse at the wrong particular time. Brain fingers is interesting. The problem is the cost on it. We're talking now $2,250, but I have a feeling that it's going to go down. So Chris Joaquin is a person who is a composer, he's a musician, and he's going to show you how Brain Fingers works. Interesting to see the various opportunities there are for disabled musicians in other countries. In the UK, they have a number of different orchestras, one of these being the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra. This has now been in existence for 2 years. It provides opportunities for disabled musicians to work with music technology, and it gives them also opportunities for vocational direction. Bradley Warwick is one of the students who is there. He is a musician, a student, and he is also their spokesman. And he's going to describe for you the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra.
1, 2, and 3.
Hello, my name is Bradley Warwick. I am a member of the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra, and I am 21 years old.
Brilliant. Thanks, Eric.
I have cerebral palsy, which affects all my limbs. I use my communication device to communicate with using my eyes. I love being part of the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra. I feel a kind of freedom and belonging. Ashley plays piano and is very amazing. Connor also plays piano and is a good friend. Ben plays the instrument, which is amazing equipment.
Note this controller, I'll talk about in a minute.
Switches. But the instrumental music have made for me helps me be a better musician. It's called the clarion, and I am able to play it with my eyes. When I look at an object on the screen, I play a note. When I move my eyes around the object, I can change the quality of the sound. George plays the clarion with his head movements using a smart navy infrared motion sensor. At the Southwest Open Youth Orchestra, they can make an instrument for anyone.
Just anticipate this changeable note, it's not a lot of time.
Orchestras are very important to open up to disabled musicians because it gives them the opportunity to perform with others. It enables me to get out and meet new people who also love music. I would love to make a career with music, so I hope this will all help.
I think it's so cool to see the various devices and the opportunities for handicapped in the UK. One of these orchestras I mentioned initially is the Para Orchestra. This is the world's first professional ensemble for disabled musicians. And there is our friend Charlotte. She is performing in London and also Saudi Arabia. They take this organization all the way around the world and do performances. The other nice thing about it, it is not just rare for electronic means. They use the traditional instruments. You'll find people who are brass, percussion, woodwind, and also string players that are there. I want to talk a little bit about various physical controllers that may be more appropriate to what you people are doing if you are working in the public schools. There's a number of them are out there, and I'd like to show them to you because you will see them. One of them is called the Click-to-Go Quintet. You'll notice it has five different controllers, and it goes into a CPU, or a central processing unit. And what you could do is you could use it for group situations, or you could use it as a solo instrument. Comes straight out of the box, so you don't have to have any additional equipment or anything like that. But you can use various memory cards if you want to create your own songs and back up your music, and it is available at a pretty low price. Another device that's quite interesting is called the Magic Flute. The Magic Flute has an air tube on it, so somebody then can use the, by blowing into it, they can be able to produce different types of sound. If they blow into it, they can use it for various aspects of the dynamics, and if they want to move their head around, then they can use that to be able to work with pitches and so forth. They can rotate it up and down to change the pitch. It'll plug into a MIDI keyboard or a keyboard or synthesizer, which is really important because you don't have to stay with just flute sounds then. You can work with other types of timbres. There's eight different types of notes you can get out of it, and there are eight default scales that are there and to be ready to be pre-recorded. So I decided to let you hear some Beethoven today, okay? Immediately you think about the Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Well, that's exactly what we're going to hear today, except it's going to be a little bit of an expert. We're going to have three magic flute players accompanied by a string quartet. Well, because you can use other timbres, you can work with other venues of music. So this is a different venue, and this is using a saxophone patch. If you've worked with the WX5, anybody work with the WX5 in here or have seen it? The WX5 is a device that is an interesting instrument. This is what it looks like. You might have seen it. They tried to get, Yamaha tried to get them into public schools years ago. They turned out quite nicely for jazz purposes because you could do a lot of playing on the instrument and that, but it really never took off in the schools, I think by the expensiveness and the delicacy. However, the nice thing about the WX5, you could use it for breath therapy, and they've been using these in the Netherlands. So what they do is they have various musical breathing exercises. The person can work in respiratory therapy. They can work with diseases such as spinal muscular atrophy or also muscular dystrophy. What they are also using them with college students over there is students who have disabilities who would like to perform with an ensemble. So for example, if a person wanted to play in a band, they could cover a part. They could cover a part that perhaps they don't have. They might cover the contrabassoon part or English horn part, or they might play the percussion lines because you can play these quite nicely on the devices. Or if they wanted to play, for example, in a string quartet, they could work with various duets or various small types of ensembles and match the pitches that are out there. I mentioned eye tracking and using the eye as a way of tracking. And there's a device that's called the iHarp. The gentleman you're going to see performing in this little video has practically no movement at all in his body. But he can do a lot of different things. He can be able to perform a melodic line, or else he can be able to do some composing, or he might want to develop some type of an accompaniment. Has anybody ever seen a theremin? Okay, great. The theremin is, dates back a lot of years. What it was, if you have not seen one, the two sensors and there's a radio wave in the middle. So you can do a lot of variations on it, okay? You can work with timbres, you can use pitches and so forth. Well, the theremin has come back, okay? At least the principle, anyway. It's now called the BEAMS. And the BEAMS is being used primarily in the UK again. They're working with various general regular music classes. They get involved with music appreciation. They get in various timbres and composing and so forth. It's also being now used in Arizona, I believe in Phoenix, for working with music therapy. So you can see what the new version of it and how you could use it.
Sensory solutions. Interactive music videos bring early learning to a whole new level in schools and at home.
The smiles on the kids' faces was all the feedback parents needed. needed. I teach music therapy to my students, and this Beams was a wonderful tool in helping some of my students who are more physically challenged than others.
The skoog is an instrument that many people use with early childhood students. We're smiling because she's been using the skoog and they've just come out with a new version of it. So I'm going to see if I can help her and see if I can get a new driver for her machine. Okay, that's a promise. Okay, but anyway, the skoog is sort of interesting because it'll connect it to an iPad. And once you connect it to an iPad, you got portability. And also the other thing is you have an opportunity to make the computer available for accompaniments if you want to do things like that. So you can extend it out. It's great to work with young children. You can do a lot of things with it. What were you doing with your kids?
Well, my children, first of all, have very low IQs. And so we still are using that they know if they play orange. And so it's a choice. But it's part of the melody line then, or the harmony. So twinkle, twinkle, the harmony is which, and all you have to do if you put it on the lowest sense is all they have to do is just move it the slightest bit and it will go to the new chord.
Right. Well, I so appreciate you sharing what you are doing with it, and then I'll show you exactly what they use for a video promo. That give a pretty much good description of it?
It also has a weighted bottom.
Okay.
So it doesn't move.
Good.
With children who can't control other muscles, it will stay stubborn, stable, not off their tray.
Great, great. I appreciate you sharing because that's something that's really fantastic, and I'll try to get back to you and see if I can get something for you. How many people have worked with the McKee-McKee and the McKay-McKay or the Kai-McKai? It's a new piece of software that has come out. It's now been used quite extensively in some public schools. It was created by the MIT Media Lab. It's really a very unique device because what you can do is you can use any type of device to control sounds. So what you could do if you take 8 glasses or 8 flower stems, you can attach alligator clips to them and you can get various sounds from them. You could also take some magnetic paint. You could paint a musical score if you wanted to do musical sounds. Sometimes people take large pieces of paper, they make a foot piano for their younger children so that the kids can compose using the sounds that they would pick off the floor. There is another device I want to show you, again coming from the UK, is called Mojis. And Mojis is used in many public schools. They are working with teaching essential skills that will be able to work with rhythm, timbre, velocity, and melody. So I'm going to give you a little video and it'll show you how both of these will work. First, you'll get a chance to see what the McKee-McKee looks like. Pieces of candy. Thank you.
instrument and start playing. Modus will detect the frequency of your gesture and will tune the sound of your instrument accordingly. But there is so much more. You can create your own bespoke instrument or MIDI controller using our innovative gesture recognition technology. Just record a few examples of taps or scratches, perhaps hitting different objects as well. You can then associate each of these with a different sound or MIDI note. Use the app to choose from a growing selection of sound engines that we have designed specifically for Mojis. We have adapted classic drum sounds and sound synthesis techniques such as physical modeling and FM so that their parameters can be controlled through the subtle nuances of your movement and the objects you use. You can also use Mojis to control any instrument you like via MIDI.
My area of specialty when I did my doctorate was blind, visually impaired. I started doing this because I was teaching people who are blind when I was teaching public schools. I taught a number of piano people. The technology then was very, very weak. Okay, what I used to do is record the lessons and I'd give them markers where that I would have play the lesson and then I would tell them what to do, and so the type of technology was very weak. Problems people have when misconceptions when they were working with blind students. First of all, the first thing is they think about is Braille. Braille is very, very hard for anybody to read. Many people cannot read Braille at all, even if they are blind, because they don't have the tactile sensitivity in your fingers. If you ever get a chance to put your fingers across a piece of Braille, see if you could sense it, okay, because I can't. And I spent a lot of time teaching it. So there's a real problem with that. The other problem is the systems that come out. We are now working, Excel system now has been extended to 8. Now, it's sort of like everybody in this room being able to talk English, and all of a sudden you're giving a book in Spanish, okay? Seriously, because you are working with an entirely different system. So Braille for music people, a very, very weak opportunity. One of the things that they do have to work with is some type of a speech synthesizer. And this is exciting because I'm going to show you what's happening with these little devices that I'm sitting with in a second, and your machines too. But the direction of the JAWS, J-A-W-S, which is a speech synthesizer that's found primarily on the PC side. And rather than me talking about JAWS anymore, I'm going to have JAWS describe you to you itself. And what you can then do with that is apply it to a piece of sequencing software. So if you're working with DAW software, digital audio workstation software, or sequencing software, you can work with what is called JSonar. Has anybody worked with JSonar before? JSonar is an old version of the software. What it is, it's similar to Cakewalk and some of the ones that we are working with GarageBand today. It is a set of scripts, and what the person then could do if they have low vision is they can work, they can put in sequencing, they can do MIDI, they can work with digital audio editing and so forth. So what I have done is I've taken a MIDI file that I made. This is the A minor flute sonata by J.S. Bach, and I've imported it in, and you're going to see exactly what happens as I navigate around the screen and how JAWS will read the screen for somebody who is visually impaired.
Playing.
Stop unavailable. Run audio. Reset.
Step record, dot 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 shift auto step record activate shift loop auto shuffle dot 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 record options dot 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 transport context menu playing.
You could also read the screen with a piece of software called Lime Aloud. Again, this is on the PC side. It plays and narrates every note or chord so that you'll have an oral description of the various notes, the pitches, lyrics, and ties. Bill McCann is somebody who works with a site called Dancing Dots. Anybody have seen that site? It's a good site to look at because it'll give you a lot of things that are available in music for working with people who are visually impaired. And he was very helpful as I started to work with my presentation and allowing me to work with the various software that is available. And he is here today, and he is going to give you an audio presentation on how Lime Aloud works. Bill?
I'm Bill McCann of Dancing Dots, and I'm here to give you an audio presentation of a feature of our Goodfield Braille Music software we call Lime Aloud. Lime Aloud is designed to give you a multi-sensory approach to a musical score. You'll hear verbal cues, and you'll hear musical tones, and on my Braille display, I can feel the equivalent Braille music notation to an arrangement of My Country Tis of Thee. Some of you may know it as God Save the Queen. I'm going to just try to let Jaws tell you more than I'm going to say. We'll see how I do. Here we go.
Treble clef, 1 flat F major, 3 4 time, mezzo forte, / D moderately, My Country, / Tis of Thee.
So you can see there's a lot of information on that first note. Let's go to the second note.
B2, F4 quarter.
You hear the beat, you hear the pitch, the octave, and the rhythm. So on B2 we have F as the pitch, 4 for the octave, and quarter for the rhythm. Let's go on.
B3, G4 quarter. R2, B1, E4 quarter dotted. B2.5, F4/8, B3, G4 quarter. R3, B1, A4 quarter.
I'm simply using the arrow keys on the numpad to move note by note.
If you are working with a piece of notation software, you are working towards Toccata. And this is a standard file that is available presently. It's not as strong as some of the others, such as Sibelius, Finale, and so forth, but it is available. Because what it'll do, you can pull in a MIDI file, you can work with XML, you can work with some of you old guys might have remembered NIFF, the notation interchange file format. And what you can then do is export it out to Braille, to a Braille printer, to a Braille device, which I'm going to show you in a second, and then the person then can have their files created into Braille. So let me tell you a little bit about Braille, because it's something that people don't realize. When you are writing in Braille, you work with different formats. You work with paragraph formats, sentence formats. So when you're working with music, let's say you're talking about a piano score. You got two measures of piano score, treble clef, bass clef. Visually impaired, Braille does not go with treble and bass. It goes with second octave, third octave, because you use the same set of dots for all the notes throughout. So you're working second octave, third octave, fourth octave as you go up higher and so forth. So what the person then is going to read in Braille is they read the first two measures of the top treble part. Then they read the bass clef. Then they got to think in their brain, treble clef, bass clef, how do they line up? Okay? Big problem. You can start to think about learning the first two measures of a piece that you are playing, and then you got to remember it, and then look at the bottom, and then put them all both together. So it can be pretty hairy as you start to go. So what happens sometimes if it's harmonically pretty straight, let's say holes and half, and there isn't any additional sharps or lyrics or anything like that, you'll get some type of lineup. So what I've done is I put into Toccata some notes. You're going to see I'm laying in the notes in the standard five line staff, and then you'll see what happens as it pushes it out into Braille. So there is the notation, as you can see above, and you can notice that I put in the notes, and then below we have paragraph format. So you notice how these are lined up. Now I'm going to start very simplistically, and I'm going to change it into a harmonic way so that you notice we've got a clef sign in both places, or second and third octave, and then notice how these line up across, okay? This is will happen very nicely if the piece is a very simplistic piece. So this is something you have to look at. When you export out, people work with Braille displays. This is sort of interesting because the person is working with 24 Braille cells in this display. Each one of the cells has six little openings. And behind it, there's a series of spinning wheels. So when a person pushes one of these buttons, they get 24 Braille cells. And so then they can feel along to various cells, then they can move back and forth, they can push one of the buttons, and this will allow them to read the Braille. Sometimes they will put it underneath a standard computer keyboard. You notice this is set up so the person then has the Braille cells below. It's indicated in, it's connected in to the standard computer, so the computer can do both aspects. There's a new direction towards working with smaller and more compact devices. This is an M40. And the nice thing about this, it will allow the person not only to be able to work with Braille, but they can work with a speech synthesizer so that it can be spoken, and then they can work with email and word editing that'll come out through the older devices. The newer ones are more portable. You can see it's set up so that the person can take it to a library or they can be able to work with it. It gives them a feeling of less helplessness, which I think is a very important thing. Early on, and I kept pointing to the gentleman, you know, he had that keyboard with all the colored lights on that he was playing the keyboard. Well, what he can do is he can work with a transparent key overlay. So he can put the overlay over that keyboard, and then he can program it for various sounds. He can get involved with notes, sequences, and all the things, and use a standard keyboard for some type of performance. If you are a low vision person, you are probably looking at some type of an operation for having some type of acuity sight-wise so that you can work with white on black. You get better visual acuity with it. And this is called a lime lighter. If you'll notice, it's set up so that you could put it on a piano keyboard, or I know one person who plays in bands. And so instead of if he's got large, he has large print music, he's got pages and pages and pages of this stuff, and it's hanging off all over his stand. He can use one of these devices, and then what he can do is he can work with a foot switch, and the foot switch will allow the person then to move forward to the various types of other measures that are coming up. The nice thing that's starting to happen now is we are now working with new operating systems. And if you look at your computer, you're going to find with OS 10 and Windows 10 that you are getting a lot of different things that are starting to come available. For hearing impaired, there is now FaceTime. Has anybody worked with FaceTime in here? Probably you have, yes. FaceTime is really great because you've got high quality video and you've got a fast frame rate, which is really great. Because what the person could do is they could work with sign language, and they could also be able to work with facial gestures, and they can be able to communicate with any of the people who work with these type of aspects. You can also work with now in the deaf side with various types of captions. For example, this one is set up, if you'll notice, I can work again with white on black. So a person who is hearing impaired could be able to work with this, and also somebody who has low vision and be able to work back and forth. If you're a musician, one of the things that's really important is mono audio. So what you can do is take the left and right channel and put it into mono, because sometimes people who have hearing disabilities will have a limited frequency on one side, a limited frequency on the other. So being able to pull them both together, it allows both ears to be able to hear what is going on. Very important for people who are involved with music. If you are working on the visually impaired side, there's tons of neat things that are available. VoiceOver allows the person to read the screen. They can move all over the screen and they can be able to read the various things that are there. There is now a Zoom effect that you can work with. There's a dictation, which is awesome for somebody who is visually impaired, because if they are a college student, it is really helpful because they can do their term papers, they can do all this writing that they would have not had a real problem with before. And as I've tried to show you, the inverting of the colors is another thing you can work with on your Mac side. Very important for a person who has low vision and can use it for the various definitions that come available. And now we are working with Braille displays on OS X, which are also coming to the fore. If you are working on the Windows side, there's a magnifier. You can see the items on the screen. There's a keyboard shortcut you can work with. There's speech recognition to control your PC. And you can hear the text read aloud by working with a narrator. And as you start to get involved with the iPad, which is really exciting because it's small and a person can work with it portability-wise, there are so many things. There's VoiceOver, there's new VoiceOver in the apps, so all your apps can be read on an iPad if you want. And gestures, you can now be able to go all over the screen so the person can go around and be able to hear what is happening. And the last thing I wanted to show you is the iWatch. I thought this was really unique because it has what is called a haptic engine. And the person then can have this available, and if an event occurs on their watch, it will give a sound, sort of like, you know, what happens with your own cell phone. But it gives an opportunity for them to become more portable. For example, as I put this little example up, a person then would take a right on Central Park West. This may not sound musically important, but it gives a person less of an opportunity of feeling helplessness, which I found very, very important 5 minutes left. Thank you. With this doing my presentations and talking to individuals. Because one of the things that I found with the individuals I have worked with when I was doing teaching music to people who are have special needs is that feeling of helplessness and the feeling of being able to want to be independent. You can think about it yourself when you go out of here, all the things that you take for granted. And the people that be able to work with the technology today, they're trying so much now to try to get involved with accessibility and to be able to be flexible and be able to move about. So this is the direction I've gone with this presentation. I've tried to give you a ton of stuff, as you can see in the time I've gotten for my presentation. I've given you a web page. There's a QR code, as you'll notice now, up on the screen. You will find that QR code should be on your handout. If you didn't get a handout, FMEA is spectacular. The way they put up their handouts online, my handout is available for you, and it's also in digital format. So if you want to follow up on some of the things that I've given you, you don't have to type in all those hieroglyphics, you know, to get to the URL that I've given you. So that information is there for you. My email is there for you. The web page is associated with this presentation, and we got to the end of it with the video not stopping, which it usually does. So I'm going to have a video up on YouTube on it. I play with technology. You know, I really got to play. I enjoy working with putting some of these things online. So any questions? I got 4 minutes left. Well, thank you very much for coming. I really am pleased that I could present for you in Florida.
Thank you.